This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Delegate Brian Moran joins us on the long line from his office in Richmond. Good afternoon, Brian. How are you?
Good afternoon to you. I'm doing fine, thank you.
Happy New Year to you.
And the same to you all.
How were the holidays at your house?
They're wonderful. I have a six-year-old and a four-year-old, and they just had a wonderful time. A lot of excitement and no snow, but lots of fun and joy in the house.
Terrific. Yeah, our twins are five this year, and I think this was the first year that they really, both of them really, they got into Christmas.
Yes. Well, Santa Claus was very good to my kids, and so they were good to us. You know, I love this Santa Claus thing, you know, is a good disciplinary tool. You can really extract some good discipline on using Santa Claus.
That's right.
So Santa Claus was good to them, and we had a wonderful time. And in anticipation of the session, it was good to be able to stay home for some time and spend some good quality time with them as we, you know, now that we're down here in the session, which began yesterday, we'll be down here for 46 days, and we'll have a lot to work to do.
And a lot on your plate. What did you, let's just start with last night. What did you think of the opening, the Governor's State of the Union? I was actually down in Richmond today, and some of the word that I heard around the General Assembly building, a lot of folks were saying, wow, you know, on the right and the left, folks were saying, wow, it was different from any State of the Union they'd heard, and it was different from any particular Kane speech that they had heard.
Well, it was indeed different because we were in Jamestown, and that was a new venue for the speech. I thought Tim, again, the governor, presented it in a confident manner. I thought he provided substantive content, and the delivery itself was very good. So I thought it was an excellent speech. It was interesting this year, you know, we sat as Democrats and Republicans, we were intermingled in the audience. We were not sitting on our respective sides of the aisle. So it was interesting. I sat next to one of the more conservative members of the House of Delegates, Scott Lingenfelter from Prince William, and we had an opportunity to discuss the speech as it was being given. And I thought he stood and applauded on several occasions. And so I thought it was a speech that appealed to our sense of bipartisanship, emphasized issues that we have in common. So I thought it was a wonderful way to start the session.
Delegate Brian Moran of Alexandria, our guest. Brian, what's your take on you've been down there for over 10 years now. What's your take on the mood of this particular session going into 2007?
Well, Coy, we have elections in 2007, and so there's that. That provides like an umbrella over our deliberations. I think there's an effort to work together. Both Democrats and Republicans see the benefit in accomplishing things for the Commonwealth, making government work better for our constituents. And so there's a sense that we can accomplish more if we work together. And certainly that was the theme provided by the governor last night. Look at the things we've accomplished together. But there are challenges that continue, that present themselves to us, that we must work together to achieve, number one being transportation.
And let's talk about that, because you yourself have a number of bills this year dealing with VDOT and transportation. And what do you see happening? What can we realistically expect in the next few weeks out of Richmond?
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of different issues with respect to transportation. One is the funding. We need additional revenue to relieve the traffic congestion, particularly in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads. But we also need additional funding to address I-81's safety issues. We also need money to address the economic development that's necessary in Southside in Southwest Virginia. Secondly, growth. One of the reasons that we are congested is because we have not properly linked land use decisions and transportation improvements, and we need to do that. So you'll see a great deal of effort with respect to smarter growth initiatives, and we'll have continued to debate a funding source, adequate funding source, so that we can make sure we can relieve the congestion and continue to move Virginia forward.
And so I hear one side saying we need some increases on fees and we need to raise some strategically raise some taxes here and there, and the other side saying we absolutely can't do that. Let's sell some bonds. Might we see some type of hybrid of this? Is that what we'll see in an election year?
Well, compromise is not a dirty word. After all, that we are legislators, and you know, perfect is the enemy of the good. Let's take a look at the fees. Let's look at bonding. The bonding troubles me if we do not have a source of revenue to pay the interest on those bonds. Because if you issue bonds and rely on the general fund to pay the interest on those bonds, that means we will be competing. We'll be placing transportation and roads competing with other services, vital services that are funded through the general fund, like colleges, universities, public education, public safety, health care, and the other variety of services that we provide to our citizens. So I think we do need a dedicated revenue source if we do go to the bonding area. If we do issue bonds for transportation, we need a dedicated revenue source that does not come out of our education budget to pay for those bonds.
Delegate Brian Moran is our guest, and the phone line is open at 977-1070 if you have a comment or a question. Brian, tell us about redistricting. We often hear this subject. It's certainly something we talk a lot about at the Sorensen Institute. Tell us, what is the challenge now as it exists? And I know that you have legislation this year that you're proposing that's familiar legislation.
Yes. Several years now I have sponsored legislation to address the partisan redistricting process that I abhor. It's a partisan, it's mean-spirited, it's partisan. And what is it? It has done is polarized us as Democrats and Republicans. It's polarized this nation. It's polarized this Commonwealth. And we need to be able to govern together, and we accomplish that by making competitive districts. And you do that by either a bipartisan redistricting commission or a nonpartisan redistricting commission. A number of states, namely Iowa and Pennsylvania, have gone in that direction. Virginia can do it, but we need some sensible folks to recognize that it is competitive. Democrats are now picking up seats, so it's in the Republican majority's best interest to come to the table and pass some form of redistricting, bipartisan redistricting. Now, the bill that I've put in this year is a bill that was co-patroned by Speaker Bill Howell, co-patroned by Majority Leader Walter Stosch, and a number of other Republican leaders back in 1992 when the Democrats were in power. So I'm hoping that their good senses will dictate support of this legislation, that if it was good in 1992, it's good legislation here in 2007.
And this is legislation that didn't go anywhere when the Democrats were in power, and we're hearing now, well, with the Republicans in charge now, even though they wanted it then, they wanted it then because they were out of power. And that this is something that the party does who's not in power, and we're not going to see much here. Might we see anything? Might we see some movement on this?
Well, we need
this
to
is,
start
you know, this is 15 years later.
We are approaching redistricting in 2010, so it would require a constitutional amendment, which would take 2 years to pass. So the time is fast approaching for action in this regard, and as Democrats have picked up seats over the last 5 years, we're making it more competitive, and I would hope the Republicans would see that this would be in their interest. And Democrats, you know, quite conceitedly, I concede Democrats did not do the right thing when they're in the majority. But one factor that has changed is the technological advances. Redistricting now is subject to precision mapping, precision redistricting, that they can they do it by street, they do it by houses now in terms of the how individuals vote. So it's a very precise measure now, and it's unfortunate because it's not a moderating influence, but rather a polarizing influence.
We do. We have a situation in the Commonwealth right now where legislators are picking their voters and not the other way around.
And not constituents picking their legislators.
Right.
That's correct.
We're talking with Delegate Brian Moran. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side of this break. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. This is Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA. Brian, what do you have on your plate? Some other items that you have, some legislation that you're carrying this session?
I do. I actually have I have a number of bills this year trying to promote it. I serve as the House Democratic Caucus Chairman, and I, several years now, have been sensitive to the criticism. Well, the Democrats, okay, you say you're not Republicans, but what do you stand for? And I've been sensitive to that this year. We've put forward a chairman's agenda that is ambitious. I think it's one that is a strong agenda. It calls for economic fairness for our low-income workers by increasing Virginia's minimum wage. Would increase it after a two-year period to $7.25. A low-income worker now working 40 hours at minimum wage makes less than $11,000 a year. So my bill would increase the minimum wage. We recognize the importance of good teachers and the importance of educating our population. Of course, Thomas Jefferson stood for that, and I suspect that's as relevant today as it was in Thomas Jefferson's time. So I would support, I have a bill in to raise the teacher salaries to the national average. Also recognize our importance, our stewardship of our environment. So we are putting in a bill to make sure that state buildings are green buildings, that we use the engineering capability to make sure that they are environmentally conscious, and which will yield benefits, will save money in the long run, and I think that's economically beneficial as well as trying to preserve our environment. Stem cell research, it's currently being debated up on Capitol Hill. I have a bill in that will authorize stem cell research to occur in the Commonwealth.
What is the situation now with that in Virginia? What does Virginia law say about stem cell research?
It's silent on it, Coy. And what happened last year was the House Republican leadership passed a budget that stated if any institution in the Commonwealth allowed stem cell research to be conducted in their facility, all of their funding would be pulled. So if stem cell research were to have occurred at the Medical College of Virginia, the entire budget would have been eliminated. So obviously it was sending a message that you may not conduct stem cell research at the facilities. Now the Senate in the conference committee eliminated that language. So the law is now silent, and so I want to send the signal that indeed in Virginia we do want to exercise and realize the potential of the stem cell research. It offers enormous potential to cure diseases and improve the quality of life to those that are now inflicted with debilitating diseases. So my bill would authorize stem cell research, and hopefully it will be favorably received by the House of Delegates.
Do you think we're going to see the minimum wage at the federal level? Now it's if I'm not mistaken, it's passed in the House, moving to the Senate.
Yes, and I would hope it would. The concern is whether President Bush will sign it. He's expressed his support, but contingent upon some tax breaks for small businesses. And so not knowing whether or not Congress will pass it or not and will receive the president's signature, I think it's important for Virginia itself to act. 29 states have passed an increase in the minimum wage, so I'm hoping Virginia will act unilaterally. And if Congress passes and the president signs it, it would be moot. But at this point, I think it's time for us to act.
Delegate Brian Moran is our guest, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Speaking of transportation, there's been a lot of folks saying that, you know, before we spend more money on transportation, let's fix VDOT. And I know that you have some bills related to VDOT. Share some of your thoughts on this. You know, I've interviewed folks on this program who say, look, this bureaucracy was created in the 30s. We really need to streamline it and start from scratch and figure out what's the best way to approach some type of statewide transportation infrastructure that's going to be better than VDOT and the 21st century version of VDOT.
Mm-hmm. Correct. I'm a member of the Transportation Committee and will continue to try to reform the way VDOT operates and makes decisions and how it spends our money. So very supportive of that. The governor has hired a top-notch director of the Department of Transportation. He did a nationwide search, and has recently named a new director, and he's on the job. We have a very experienced Secretary of Transportation, who was the former secretary, who was the former director of VDOT. So I think we have some experience now on hand and institute those reforms. We are performing quite well. We are, any transportation project now occurring in the Commonwealth is on time and on budget. I think the figure is 93%. The projects are being completed on time and on budget. So that's a tremendous improvement over just half a dozen years ago when half of our projects were not being completed on time. So we're doing well with respect to that. I think VDOT reforms are crucial if we're going to ask citizens to turn over their hard-earned money to fix transportation. We have to make sure that we ensure that it is spent effectively and wisely, and I'm supportive of those efforts. I personally do have a couple of bills in, I think, that go toward that, one of which makes VDOT more transparent. You'll be able to access information, financing information more readily through the Internet, and makes their spending more transparent for our citizens. Secondly, the governor has asked me to carry a bill that will create the Office of Intermodal Planning and Investment. It's essential that we integrate our various forms of transportation, whether it be rail, transit, roads, airports. We need to have planning in mind that they're interconnectable, that it's a seamless system. And so I'm anxious for that to pass, and that we get somebody indeed responsible and accountable to our citizens to make sure that we plan correctly when it comes to transportation.
Delegate Brian Moran is our guest. Brian, what are your thoughts about Steve Landis? Delegate Steve Landis, 25th District, has House Resolution 45, which would create a one-year pilot project to provide video and audio transmission through the Internet or public television of the House of Delegates. And this is quite revolutionary for Virginia. The General Assembly has sort of kept the cameras at arm's length for a long, long time.
Well, the House has. The Senate is accessible. The House has unfortunately rejected that. So I'm pleased to hear that. That is news to me, Quinn. Thank you. And I'll be very supportive of that. I think the more access our citizens have our business and how we legislate will improve how we conduct ourselves and how we conduct business on their behalf. So I welcome that. I hope that is a serious attempt to get us to get the citizens more as active participants in the process. The concern has been that of the 100 members of the House, it can be a fairly rambunctious group on occasion, and you would see some grandstanding by members if we were to put it on television. And but I think it's absolutely, in this day and age, in 2007, we should avail ourselves of our technology, and certainly allow our constituents to see what we're doing.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and I remember they said much the same thing back in the mid-80s when C-SPAN was born and they started broadcasting the federal government. And I remember the moment standing there watching when the cameras went on, and there were a lot of these speeches. I think somebody came to the Senate floor with a little mirror, and they sort of made fun of it, and then they got to work.
Sure. Yep. And we're down here for a short session. Members, the peer pressure by members will dampen that grandstanding. I mean, we're here. We have families back home. We have businesses back home. And in 46 days, we have a variety of complex issues. I'm told that there have been 4,100 bill requests, drafting requests, 4,100 pieces of legislation. That is an enormous workload. And so there'd be peer pressure on folks who would grandstand on the floor of the House of Delegates. And so, you know, maybe there'd be initial bumps in the road, but ultimately we'd get back to the business and get it done, and it would it'll allow more of our constituents to participate.
I agree with you, and I think the time has certainly come here in 2007 in the 21st century. We ought to be able to go online and watch our
and
state
that was,
delegates at work.
Resolution 45.
House Resolution 45.
I'll be sure to co-patron that legislation. I'll look that up. Good for him.
Fantastic. Brian, before we let you go, any thoughts about Governor Warner and the Democratic nomination? There's some, of course, scuttlebutt in the blogosphere that he might put his hat back in the ring or that he perhaps might run for governor again.
Governor Warner was a fabulous governor, a great friend. We've been good friends for a couple of decades now. And so I would invite him back. I think he was a wonderful governor. He'd be a wonderful governor again. And I certainly enjoyed working with him so closely during his administration, working on behalf of his legislation on the floor of the House of Delegates as caucus chairman. And so we'll wait and see. And I know he has a career, and he probably has another run for office in him. So we haven't seen the last of him, I hope.
Delegate Brian Moran, very good friend of the program. Thank you, Brian. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Good luck this year in Richmond.
Great.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.